How do you mean that?
Well, I mean that there are the colors and the beauties, the designs, the beautiful way things appear. People themselves, dull people that I thought dull, appear fascinating, interesting, mysterious, wonderful. But that's only the beginning.
Welcome to Strange People, Weird Worlds. Let's get this show started.
You got no T-Mobile service in this piece.
So you got T-Mobile, bro.
Yes.
You know, this is like my dungeon room. I try and restrict cell phone service in here.
Yeah, it's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
You what know. Do your knuckles say?
Oh, they're the Green it's, Lantern.
They board. Open the Stargate.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's our greed, love, fear, life, death, hope, rage, and compassion.
This is on each one of Josh's knuckles.
Yeah, so Michelangelo's famous painting of God and man. Man's finger is his left index finger is touching God's finger, so I put life on that one. Love, obviously, for my ring finger. And then greed for, like, pinkies up.
Oh, you so. Put a lot of thought into that.
It took me, like, 2 years, yeah, of just, that's like, really cool. Deciding if I wanted to do it or not, so.
I mean this as a compliment. You're like a nerd thug.
I am a nerd thug.
Pretty cool.
Nerd thug. Nerd thug. I've never heard nerd. Nerd.
That should be my like artist name. Nerd thug.
Nerd thug.
Nerd thug. That's yeah. Funny.
I don't know if you guys heard, or I don't know if you two heard. I put my 2 weeks in today. Officially, I'm leaving, bro.
Oh, okay.
Just there you go. Leaving.
Where are you going? You're gonna go in a moving company?
Yeah, man.
Josh. Oh, wow. They didn't. So. Did they not do a in-person interview?
No, they did.
I mean, Steve. He showed him the lantern.
Like, oh, yeah, well, okay, you need to move 200-pound furniture. We better get a 135-pound guy for it.
Yeah, bro, I'm strong.
It's like, all maybe, right, bro. Maybe it's like what a 40-year-old virgin and the hiring person had a crush on Josh.
Maybe, yeah.
No, I should have hired a 300-pound guy who could lift a 60-inch flat screen.
Well, is it like college hunks moving junk? Because no. That company needs good-looking faces.
Oh, well, no, that's we just definitely chose not that company.
Not that company. That was the first one crossed off the
yeah,
list.
Yeah, no. It's cool, though. I mean, I'll be averaging 800 a week.
Wow.
And so. But he also, aren't you doing it because you want to get strong? You said?
Yeah, I mean, it's, get a, buff, it's so. A perk. It's not like anything I'm like aiming for. It's right. Just like, it's just a perk that's there. So
you wear a back brace, young man.
I think he eventually just wants to get old man strength down the road.
Yeah, I mean.
You know, like that strength that old men have who did like hard
yeah,
labor?
Yeah, yeah,
like and there's just like that, yeah, my, like that dad strength.
Yeah, dad strength. Like, something I will not have.
Yeah, like a construction worker's hands of like 30 years of hard labor. Like those things are rocks.
Actually, that's the only thing I attribute to my pit bull, you know, of 10 years. And, you know, now I have two pit bulls. It's just an iron grip because I'll play tug of war with just a tennis ball in her mouth holding it. And,
oh, that pit bull strength?
Yeah, pit bull strength. So I have to tug of war with them all the time. So I do have a pretty good grip, but, you know, I expect the body to wither away anyways.
Well, hey, man, I mean, I also got those piano and guitar fingers. I got that.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. I have already. So can stretch them. Yeah. And
then just the playing of individual fingers. Yeah.
Not me. I am riddled with arthritis already. I've been cracking my knuckles since I was like 6 years old.
Yeah, but that doesn't affect it.
Yeah,
that's what I've actually good for you.
Yeah.
That's what I've always wondered.
I never heard that.
Yeah.
It was in the last year, I think.
I've heard back and forth
for a long time.
But in one of my middle school health teachers told me it was fine, so I just tuned out the rest of the world from there. I was like, I only needed one person to tell me it's okay.
And
I
health teacher.
Kept on
that going. Wait, never, like you go to a chiropractor. Yeah. You go down to the chiropractor regularly.
I do now.
Never
yeah.
brought that up.
Ever since I started dating Miranda, who actually happens to be our guest today.
Hello.
Welcome, everybody. Strange people, weird world.
What up?
As you know, my name is Greg Tanner. With me, as always, is Josh Hart, Steve McMorrow, and like I said, our special guest, who happens to be the prettiest guest we've ever had, is
sure.
My girlfriend, Miranda Hofer. So thanks for being with us, babe.
Yay, Miranda.
Thanks for having
me. Yeah, like you said, I do. I go to the chiropractor now twice a month. I was in terrible pain when me and Miranda started dating, and I just kind of dealt with it.
He was in terrible old man pain and terrible old man denial. I would be like, well, you need to see the doctor about that. No. And that would be the end of it. We couldn't talk about it any further.
I just say no.
Couldn't poke that issue because he would get really cranky about it, really defensive. And so I wore him down. I think it's a family thing. Yeah, if you've ever met Greg's dad, it's like meeting.
What do you think? They're like swindlers or something?
I don't know. And it literally comes from both sides, because even my mother's father, like, he died and nobody knew a thing was wrong with him. And then they autopsied him and it was like, well, this was wrong and he had this going on. And he just kind of like kept it to himself, you know?
That's probably how I'm going to be. I never go to the doctors.
Why?
You should.
Why wouldn't you?
Shit's expensive, bro.
Yeah, I haven't made it to
It's not cheap, especially with health.
Yeah, I haven't made it to the actual doctor yet.
But I mean, it's like your car. If you don't change the oil right now, you're going to have terrible, expensive problems later on down the road. Take care of it now.
I just think...
How much money you spend on those nicotine pods?
Dude, I'm about to give this thing away because I spend too much.
Exactly. Yeah. And now you're saying, like, you have to prioritize.
Well, and that's what we're doing. Like,
it's too expensive, but I'm going to spend a ton of stuff on these little nicotine pods.
Here's my game plan. Oh, I like your pants.
There you go. Thank you.
Those are, like, the most hipster pants I've ever seen you wear.
Oh, I'm hipster through the drink coffee, avocados. I'm very hipster.
Oh, hell yeah. But no, here's my game plan. I'll be 22 in less than 2 weeks.
Okay.
So this would be my last summer I would have ever had if I had ever gone to college.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to enjoy it. And, like, it's kind of over now that I got a new job, like a grown-ass man job. Like, I've walked in there, grown-ass men just everywhere.
Why didn't you go to college?
It wasn't worth it.
Okay.
Musician, like, all that kind of stuff I would go to school for, I can teach myself.
I agree completely. You know, I've had a few years to get to know Greg a little bit.
Three-time college dropout.
And, you know, we've hung out before, but I don't know much about you.
Yeah, I mean, I just,
not
like... supposed to be the one kid in my family to graduate college, and, like, that's what was kind of, like, bestowed upon me from my parents.
You were the golden child?
I was supposed to be, and then I was just like...
And why? You denied your varnish?
No, so here's the thing. I'd like to say I'm pretty smart. Just saying. But.
I'm humble.
Very humble.
I'm typically pretty humble, but I gotta, you know, Steve.
I don't get that from you.
Steve will pick that apart. So yeah. I gotta, you know, put up a little bit of a wall. We gotta trumpet a little bit. So, what I'm saying is, here it is, like, all right, I went to school. I enjoyed it. I breezed through it really easy. Life got really shitty. And I was like, I hate school. I hate being here. And so I never failed.
What school? You said you went to school.
Just
you went
like
high school?
All throughout school. Just like grade
all
school.
Schools.
Oh.
All schools. All schools.
K through 12.
It was easy. It was always easy to me. And so then like I just got really bored with it. I never did my homework. Never went to school. But I never failed tests. So like I always passed. Till I failed 3 classes. And then like I took a full schedule. And then I was supposed to be a super senior or take summer classes. And then I was like, nah, fuck that. I'm graduating early. So I graduated early. Ever since then, I've just been working. I mean, that's what I do. And, like, on the side, I do music. And now.
Yeah, you're still young. I mean, you can still do so much without, especially without a college degree. You kind of not saying it's bad, but to go to college, but it's definitely
just so
not
expensive.
Bad to not go.
Yeah, like, it's so expensive. I know so many people.
I think if you're going to do a trade or, like, you know, like, especially for, like, medical school, law school, things like that, like, absolutely. But just a lot of people just going to get $150,000 in debt just because, like, man, this is what I should be doing.
Yeah, right, yeah.
It's just the next step.
I don't think that's right.
No.
Yeah.
I was a cake decorator for 7 years. And
a what?
A cake decorator.
Oh, cake decorator.
Yeah, I worked in bakeries. And, I mean, we would get, at the end of that career, I was able to work at a really nice bakery here in Denver, and we would get girls coming in all the time, like, asking for internships, and that bakery didn't offer them, and I always laughed because these girls were going to colleges that are, like, $32,000 a semester, and I didn't know how to tell them that when you graduate, if you want to work in a bakery, you're going to do the dishes
for probably
the first 2 years.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just like if you want to do something, you just need to start doing
it. With culinary school, all that.
Yeah. Like,
you just need to start doing it.
Unless you're an engineer.
Like there's certain trades that you want to go, like the same thing, even like computer engineering, stuff like that. Who is it? Somebody was talking to at work was saying, like, what should I do? I think it was Kyle. And he was like, you know, what should we... Because he's like kind of figuring out the next step. There's a lot of kids like just figuring out the next step that I talk to. And I'm telling them, like, if you could, at all good with computers, get into blockchain. Start researching blockchain and go down that road. Like,
you're such
cryptocurrency
a dad.
And stuff like that. Yeah, he asked me. Like, dude, you got to go into this. Or start researching. You know, you're in the cannabis industry. It's right here at your front door. Start researching whatever you can do. It's a huge industry that's, like, it's a multi-billion-dollar industry right now. It's only going to grow exponentially. Like, it's here. Do it. Yeah.
True. See, I just tell them all cocaine and strip clubs.
No, that's the reward. That's the reward. You don't get into that as the thing.
I don't think that was quite your career path, at least not the strip clubs.
No, there was no strip clubs involved. There was just a lot of buying low and selling high was a lot of my 20s.
Really?
There you go.
You just dealt cocaine?
I sold everything except for heroin, crack, and methamphetamines.
That's good.
I really love that about him.
That's, I guess that's my first time publicly announcing that.
Oh, that's cool, man.
You know, obviously, I was in my 20s. I don't do anything like that now, and I lived in a different city.
So. And it doesn't matter. No one died from your drug dealing, so, like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. I mean, mainly, I was a pot dealer. You know, ecstasy was fun at the time for everybody.
The regular Jesse Pinkman over here, yeah.
Yeah, I was just, in my 20s, I was just partying. I did nothing constructive with it at all. I had a cool, nice car at the time, which, it's gone now. And
car was that? Your cool, nice car?
It wasn't even cool or nice. Actually, it was a brand new Chevy Colorado with like 10-inch subwoofers behind the seats and stuff. It was just nice. Yeah, I just had a new car.
So
a brand new car.
Cool. Yeah, it was nice to me.
That's dope.
It's a pickup.
And it was a pickup. It was really
Chevy Colorado.
Very inconspicuous for a drug dealer. Had a camper on it and everything. Like, I just looked like.
I would do like a Jeep Wrangler.
Yeah,
You're not seeing a drug dealer rolling around in a Jeep Wrangler.
Yeah. So, buy low, sell high. And
There was a movie with a drug dealer with a Jeep Wrangler. I think it was Juice.
Juice, maybe.
I think it was Wesley Snipes. He was rolling around like a pimped
out Jeep Wrangler. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, actually, a lot of, they...
Didn't they?
I've seen some pimped out Jeeps before.
But I remember seeing that in the movie, and I was like, that's...
Because when you said Wrangler, I wasn't thinking of it. I was thinking Cherokee. Cherokee would be a little more inconsistent.
Like that would absolutely. Yeah.
That's a classy ass car.
I would have driven the Pussy Wagon.
Pussy Wagon.
Kill Bill.
Kill Bill. That's great.
I was it got out of hand. Like, I would, I had my system and I'd go sell something at a house. And, me and my partner at the time, we would actually ghost ride my car out of the neighborhood.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Didn't you guys accidentally get in someone else's car? Waiting for
a there was a different time I was going to pick up from my main guy, and we met in different like casino parking garages.
Wait, you were picking up from what is the main guy?
Like my supplier.
Is that your supplier?
Yeah, my supplier.
Okay, got it.
Higher up the chain.
Higher up the chain.
And you called him your main guy.
I called him what he went by, but I'm not gonna say any kind of names at all for sure.
I just don't know the kind of
like he wasn't running any mafia or anything. He just
it's just your next
he was just higher up on the chain than me. Yeah, he wasn't a street level dealer, which I was.
He
sold me my large quantity that I broke up. And
Stepping back to the castle.
So, and then I had a partner, too, and who just helped me and blah, blah, blah. And so we're going to meet him one day, and we'll call him Roscoe because that's definitely not his name.
Okay.
We're going to meet Roscoe, and I know what kind of car he's typically in, and we're driving through this parking garage, and I'm like, all right, there he is. Go jump in the car and grab it. And I'm waiting for a second, and then... my friend comes out looking a little weird, and he gets back in my truck, and he's like, that wasn't Roscoe's car. It was like an old Asian guy sitting in there. Shit. So we got out of the garage in general, and we called Roscoe and let him know what happened, and we just met somewhere else.
Oh, nice.
it was pretty funny. Roscoe had a good sense of humor. One time, he's actually the guy I bought coke from, and he, you do quick transactions without really like looking at anything, and
I guess, like I said, I never had to deal with drug dealers.
Yeah, you build a trust.
Okay,
Like me and him, like we've hung out, we've partied together, we trust each other.
Right.
So quick transactions.
Right. Okay.
And I'm getting out of his car, and he's like snickering at me, and I was like, "What?" And he's like, "I just sold you some hard," and by hard he meant crack instead of cocaine. And I look down, and I've got this giant bag of like popcorn yellow crack. It's the first time I've ever seen it in my life, too. And
shit.
It was just his practical joke. He gave me what I wanted after that.
Oh, that's a funny joke. I hate when my parents pull that joke.
Yeah, the old crack swapperoo.
Nice.
So yeah, we've been going on a long time here without
a good one.
It's all good. We just got to kind of know each other a little bit more.
We're getting to know everybody today, apparently. So, yeah. That's a little bit about my 20s there.
I almost went to military. That was actually the goal after.
I almost did as well. Yeah. Until I met Greg.
She was training to be...
Do you think you would have lasted?
Oh, fuck yeah.
I think you would have.
I don't think
you're young and...
I really think you would have probably done a bucket.
No. Fuck that, bro.
I would have.
I'll tell you what, man. I literally was obsessed with the idea of going to the military for a long time. Like, I wanted to see action. I wanted to just be that guy.
I didn't want to see action.
That was in it. Like, just... And, like, even today, like, even still,
sometimes... Is that an adrenaline rush kind of you're looking
no,
for?
No, it's just, like, just a sense of, like, honor or duty. I don't know. Just something to, like...
I mean, yeah, there's definitely something admirable about it. There's no denying that.
It was just something that would give my life purpose, aside from... whatever else I was doing, because, like, you know, nothing else. I never found meaning in anything else until I found music, which was at the very end of my high school times.
Speaking of your music, Greg played some for me, and it's really good.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I haven't listened to it at all.
Yeah, no, because you're really a piece of shit.
You're an asshole.
I have no desire to.
I'm actually real excited for the second song we listened to when we were going in the car. Like, that was a good song.
Dances
like,
in the Sun. Yeah, I
can't wait for you to release. Yeah. That's like a radio-worthy song. It's really good.
Yeah,
it's,
listeners, if you get a chance to... check out Josh's music, please do.
Yeah. If you're listening to this and you haven't heard really his good. Music, check out, that means you haven't heard episode 8, I think it is, but it's definitely, it's called Hellhound on My Trail. It was a story about Robert Johnson. We played his song at the end of that episode. It's called Coffee. It's a cover song he did.
We played Josh's song at the end of that episode.
Yeah, we played Josh's song, yes. So yeah, check out that episode if you haven't heard it, and check out Josh's music. You can follow him on SoundCloud as well, and check out some of his music there.
And soon enough, we'll be on every, like, main platform. I have a new project coming out this summer, so a new EP.
Yeah. So speaking of news, before we get started with the episode, which we will do real soon here, we got some big news for our episode. We have a real celebrity guest. It's going to be, the episode will be released on August 1st. I'm not going to tell you who yet. You need to start following us on social media because that's where we're going to release it first. So
you tease.
Oh, yeah. I'm teasing you. But we got a real celebrity coming. It's actually a pair. So, yeah, follow us on our Facebook, SP Weird World. Follow us at Instagram, SP Weird World. Follow us Twitter, SP Weird World. We're going to release the news here pretty soon. That's the first way to hear about it. So if you're not following us there, you need to be. On top of that, we did get news on Spotify. It is coming soon. We're in the log. We're just kind of waiting on that news there. They have a lot of shows to catch up with, I imagine.
And I sent them a terse letter.
A terse? Yes.
Nobody included the word terse.
They knew I meant business.
Oh, yeah. Very stern. Very stern.
It's a ride or die right there, Greg. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. There you go.
And also in the city competition here, Friday... Also, I have to apologize to Mesa, Arizona. Last week, I called it Mesa, Arizona.
Okay.
So thanks to Leanne for pointing that out.
Did you really?
Yes. And, you know, as soon as Leanne, who did our logo, she likes to call things out when I'm dumb. And she's like, it's Mesa, Arizona. I was like, oh, shit, it is. I'm from Las Vegas. Like, I've heard that my whole life.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Sorry, Mesa. No worries. Yeah. But you guys were number one on Friday, but actually as of today... Number one city listening to us right now, San Jose, California.
Hell yeah.
Followed closely by Mesa, followed closely by San Francisco, which is right near San Jose.
So is this, like, excluded from Denver, or, like...
Yeah, Denver's always number one.
Okay.
You know, you guys aren't... San Jose, like, half of what Denver is, though. That's really... That's kind of, like, the biggest city, like, jump we've had yet. So shout out to everybody in San Jose and San Francisco area. We do have a pretty good listening going in Southern California, the Alhambra area. I'm not sure where that is, but I see it's in Southern California. So thanks to all you guys for listening, and spread the word.
There you go.
Very cool.
Bird's a word.
All right, guys, so you know, now that we've been talking for I don't know how long,
like
today's episode is, if you looked at the title, you'd notice it's called The Evil Eye, or Mal de Ojo.
Mal de Ojo.
Mal de Ojo. As some cultures call it.
I like your Spanish accent.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really, really good. So a lot of it's kind of a curse that it occurs in a lot of cultures, and a lot of them have different like remedies for it or different prevention methods, and you know a lot of them will be in little charms. So opening conversation today. Do you have a household talisman or protective charm?
Oh, interesting. That's a good question. Because I do.
What, a cross?
What is it?
It could be anything, yeah.
So,
for example, most Christian Catholic houses would definitely have a cross in their house.
Mm.
What do you have, Josh?
I mean, like, technically, I feel like me personally right now, I don't have anything. But, like, when I lived with my mom, you know, at the time, very, you know, cultural person,
Yeah, we've definitely heard stories of Josh's mom.
Yeah, we don't.
Is your mom Native American?
Yeah.
Okay.
Full-blooded Navajo.
No dream catcher in your window, man?
No.
Oh, wow.
So, because it's weird, because, like, I grew up, I was raised Jehovah's Witness. That's, like, my dad.
What?
Yeah, I know, right?
I did not know that about you.
So, I was raised Jehovah's Witness, and then, like, when my parents split and, like, life got pretty intense, it basically just turned into, you know, I had my first birthday party when I was 10. Cool. I had my first Christmas when I was 10. And then, like...
what did that feel like?
It was magical, I'll tell you what. Like, I don't know, we had a little baby tree.
Jesus, Harry Potter.
But it was cool. I mean, but we just... We had, like...
Your wizard, Josh.
It was cool. It was just, like, we had,
did
like...
Did Hagrid come by?
Yeah. We had, like, cedar, like, sage... like, you know, like sweet grass and like eagle feathers are usually pretty sacred as well. And so they're usually used by medicine men to, you know, heal ailments, all that kind of stuff. And so I have my own little eagle feather, but I also have like a fan as well.
I feel like on this episode, you and I are going to be coming from a similar place.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm happy that.
Yeah, not me at all.
Yeah, it's Steve.
Yeah,
I was really
not.
Afraid to come on this episode because of him, but I kept thinking, like, Josh will understand.
Yeah, no, I got you.
100%. Josh will get where I come from.
Oh, yeah? All right, yeah. That's okay.
But yeah, so I would just probably say more so, like, the cedar and then, like, the eagle feathers are probably the most predominant, like, you know, sacred things.
So you have these things, like, lined up in your house or something?
No, but it's just more so, like we have it in the house, and it's, like, it's there. Like, it is a sacred thing, you know? Because I'm sure you guys know, like, having eagle feathers of any sorts for people that aren't Native American is, like, a federal crime. Like, it's, you can't do that.
Wait, what?
Yeah, like, you cannot own any type of eagle
feather. I never thought that through.
You can't own peyote, but I can legally. I can.
Is it any type of eagle feather or just bald eagle feathers?
Yeah.
It might be just bald eagle feathers.
I think it's just bald eagle feathers.
It might be but any endangered raptor as well.
I'm sure any endangered animal you can't have any
because
part
you
of.
Used to have that sign in your room that said it was a painting of a feather, remember? And that sign said something about, it was like a friendly reminder from your local government that it's illegal to have any sort of feather.
Yeah, that was in Idaho. it was just an Idaho bird day with my parents and, I painted a rasta. You got to, like, dip feathers in paint and put it on a paper, and I made a rasta feather.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's a little, like, sticker with don't steal from nature tree. You know, just a basic general warning.
I think
warning.
It's the government's, like, attempt at trying to control poaching. Yeah. Because if you have
would sell the feather, is that what they would do?
I don't know, but it's even just, like, since it is so sacred to, like, our culture, like, I think it's more of a nod to, like, you guys can't have this. Like, this is, it's a cultural thing. It's more of like a religious thing. You cannot, like, it's theirs. Like, you know.
So if I may ask, what is the significance to your family of an eagle feather and of cedar wood? What do you believe it does?
So, like, cedar and stuff like that, like, you know, just you, when you're in like a peyote meeting, you use it to throw it into the fire. And basically, that's kind of like what, you know, you're kind of sending as like your prayers, you know.
But why cedar and not some other type of wood?
I have no idea. It's something you'd have to ask my mom. Because, like, I was never, like, learned, I never learned too much about it. But, like, I just remember kind of seeing it and, like, always knowing, like, this is sacred, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, like.
Okay.
That's one of those things.
Just roll with it?
Yeah, just roll with it, bro. And, cool. And I never dabbled too much into Jehovah's Witness or my native culture, so I kind of stayed,
like, walked the line.
Yeah. I kind of, like, merged them in a little bit of a way, and that's my life, so.
You're like, what's that? There's, like, hoodoo.
Hoodoo?
Hoodoo is, like, a form of voodoo where like, melded with Roman Catholicism, so you're like.
Yeah. Hoodoo is?
I can't remember if that's the right word for it.
I think there's something. I know hoodoo.
That would make a lot of
different.
Sense. You ever see the movie,
there's
The
two
Labyrinth?
Different types.
Oh, man. Never mind then.
The Labyrinth?
Yeah, The
Not
Labyrinth.
Labyrinth.
David Bowie.
Oh, I hate that movie.
Yeah, and part of the song is, you know, it says voodoo or something like that. And say, like, okay, hoodoo, that would make sense. That
did
it's
you
some
get
kind
all
of
your
thing.
Knowledge from the movie Labyrinth?
Oh, I wish I did. Yeah. That was one growing up, though, that I would always watch.
There was a couple at Comic-Con dressed as Bowie and Jennifer, what's her face?
Connelly.
Yeah.
Labyrinth.
They looked good.
Glorious film.
Yeah. So the immediate definition of hoodoo just says voodoo or witchcraft.
Oh, okay.
But maybe that's not the right name.
I think there's different sects,
though.
There are
different
types
of voodoo magic, though, and there's specifically a type centered around New Orleans that had merged, like, back in the 1800s with Roman Catholicism. So they melded a lot of the Roman Catholic beliefs into their voodoo practices. Mm. And that's about all I know about it.
What a weird area down there.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's very, not weird, but just unique.
Yeah.
Enchanted.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, Steve.
Yeah.
Any personal charm, talisman?
Yeah, absolutely not. No.
Nothing in your house at
nothing.
All?
Nothing you I can't think power of anything that
I've... Amber might have something.
I was going to say, you're married to a Mexican, at least ex-Catholic.
Yeah, so she's Puerto Rican,
no,
Mexican.
No Virgin Mary in your house somewhere? No.
I think we have, like, just some stuff that might have been saved, like a prayer card, because my family's very Catholic, so there's, like, prayer cards or something like that.
So we have some possible general... Catholic Christian remnants.
Right, but me around. Going but, out and purchasing something to bring back to the home.
Nothing you personally hold sacred or believe in.
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not. I mean, you say that almost as if the idea of it disgusts you.
No, it's it doesn't disgust me.
Okay.
It's, you know, kind of like flat earthers. will say the earth is flat. It doesn't disgust me they say that.
Coming it's soon, laughable that it by is. The way. Coming soon.
Kind of deal.
Disdainful?
Like, you're just like, what? Really? Like, absolutely not. No, absolutely not. Yeah. It's that kind of thing that I say it. Just because it's, no, I don't, you know, I don't believe in luck. I don't believe in fate. I don't believe in, you know, any kind of religion, religious protection or spirituality. It's just, no. It's just,
that sounds me, it's very that. Freeing.
It's,
There is a freeing aspect to it because it's kind of like, you know, it's like you're holding on to something from your childhood because that's what you were ingrained to believe for so long. Mm-hmm. And then when you finally just go, no, I'm good and let go, it's just, oh, okay.
I think it's like taking that high road of like, you know, I feel like a lot of what I've learned in the last few years is that like life sucks, life's hard, you go through shit, shit's bad. And the faster you can accept that, it gets a lot easier. And I think it's more along those lines, you know.
Cause pretty
like,
much,
you know,
yeah.
Because when you're expecting some magical thing to make your life better, yeah, it no, never really
and
happens.
People, you know, agree with you yeah, and they say, like, oh, your prayers, and your prayers will be answered, and things like, no, it's not. It's
I almost agree with you. Yes, none of this stuff's going to happen, but no, life does not suck.
I mean, no, life is absolutely. Well,
yeah, I think that's
it can, but it's all about what you make of it.
No, I just mean like it. Okay. Like it's like the thing that like people die. Like
yeah, life's hard.
Oh no, life's hard.
Shit happens,
and
for
shit
sure.
can happen. It can be very hard.
But also, by letting go of those religious beliefs, I think I've learned that even though life is hard, I personally have an opportunity to change my path rather than, like you said, waiting around for something magical to come and make it better.
Exactly, because like when I think of it, it's like, you know. I could study the Bible and, like, believe in those ideas of, like, what it has to offer, like, the philosophy, all that kind of stuff. But I feel like a lot of times I've been a bridger of, you know, people that are very religious and who don't believe in anything at all. To see, like, I see both sides to say, like, okay, well, you know, I understand. Like, I can take that idea of, like, a religious aspect and, like, simplify it into a way where it's, like, that's just where it applies in real life. Because, like, you know, obviously times are different. It's forever ago. It's thousands of years ago that those things apparently happened. So... It's just like things will change, you know. Even though they say nothing new is under the sun, like things do change, and like there's perspectives change. And even that alone is your reality. So if your perspective's different, then your life's different. You know what I mean?
Being open to change definitely
100%
a big part of life.
Because it's like,
yeah, and that's where I you're saying like I yeah, that's what I was saying. Like it's not a disgusting thing. I just can't see any. I've never seen any proof or anything like that. To me, it just doesn't make any sense.
Maybe.
But I also take the scientific method
Steve
to things
always the
and
corner
thinking
of logic.
That, hey, if you prove it to me, I will absolutely accept it. Mm-hmm. But I just don't see proof.
Yeah.
And so that's where it's like a little bit different. Yeah.
And you'll come to find in this very conversation here, one of my favorite things about our show is, you know, we have three hosts here who are three very different people. We all three had three different presidential votes, which it doesn't matter who's who. And, you know, we all, you know, you're getting three trains of thought here. You know, sometimes me and Josh kind of intermean, but, you know, you have a very logical person in Steve who keeps us grounded here.
Yeah.
You have a very head in the clouds person with Josh, and you have a kind of just going with the flow person in me.
It's
you know,
awesome
and like I said, it's a beautiful world. We love exploring it, and it's a beautiful life, you know. But Miranda.
You guys are so cute.
So I happen to know your house because I live in it.
Mm-hmm.
And between the two of us,
she continue to please me.
I'm not going to lie.
There you go. Pressure's on.
She runs this shit. You know.
We want updates.
As you can tell, my room has the cat box in it. So you know, that's my status in the house.
This is the cat's room.
Yeah, the cat's my clothes.
And they invited
recording
you
studio.
In.
Okay. Yeah. So... You come from an interesting background. You come from a Catholic background mixed with new beliefs. mixed with all the crap I've brought into your house. So, I mean, there's tons of stuff in our house. Like, what personally do you have here that is just really, really something...
Protective?
Protective to you, yeah.
There's a lot in this house that's comforting to me, but... I mean, you're kind of pointing out, I'm realizing, looking around, I don't think I have anything in the house that I'm assigning as protective, which is feels really weird. Growing up, my parents and my grandparents lived right next door. They're very Roman Catholic, and we had lots of relics in the house to protect us, especially my grandmother. She had an entire room devoted to her saint statues, and that room is where we'd go to pray the rosary.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Get hardcore. I was Catholic growing up.
Yeah. Well,
wearing scapulars and stuff.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, oh, yeah. Me too. So right now, no, I don't really have anything in our house that I've assigned as protective other than our pit bulls.
Yeah. That's good. Those will work.
Those are the best.
And the baseball bat by the door.
And that lightsaber.
I bought a baseball bat when I started dating her because she's just a girl living here, two girls living here before I moved in.
Right.
Nothing. So.
Yeah. I had a cereal bowl.
She did. I bought her a child-sized metal baseball bat, and I told her the first thing you do is swing for the knees, and then when they bend over, clock them in the head.
Yep.
Can I tell my cereal bowl story really quick?
You can absolutely tell your cereal bowl.
My roommate was a really good prankster, and one day for April Fool's, she spent all morning setting up different tricks, and I thought that was it. I went to work, and then after work, I went and helped a friend move. I got home really late, and so I really thought that the jokes she pulled on me that morning were it.
Oh, yeah.
Got home like 11:30 at night. I was exhausted, and she was never awake that late. And if she was, she was usually really cranky.
Right.
And I walk up to the back door, and she pops her head out of the curtains, and she's really happy to see me. And I don't understand why. I'm thinking she's still really excited about the prank she played that morning. So I'm just like, okay, Megan, like, give me a second. I need to decompress, you know. So I went and got a bowl of cereal, and I said, if you want, you can sit down in the living room with me and watch TV. So she sat with me, and at the time, our couch was moved against the wall so that up my right, you could directly see up the stairs.
Yeah.
And we'd been watching TV for probably about 15, 20 minutes, and out the corner of my eye, I clearly could see a man up the stairs peeking around the corner.
Did it cut out?
No. It kept peeking out, and like,
oh.
It was a man, and I didn't want to look because I knew he was there. I didn't know who he was. He had a sweatshirt on with a hood, and the hood was pulled tight so all you could see were his eyes. And all I could think was, we have someone in our house right now, and I didn't want him to know that I saw him.
Okay.
So I'm freaking out. I don't want to scare Megan, but I'm watching this guy watch us up the
How
stairs.
How long did this go on for?
I don't know. Less than a minute. I mean, everything really slowed down because my body was really trying to take in the surroundings and what am I going to do? And I'm slurping my cereal.
Oh, my God. You kept eating?
Yeah, I didn't want him to know that I saw him. So I'm, like, shaking, and I'm still eating my cereal. And I remember I brought it up to my mouth, and I was like, okay, when he comes down, that's when I make my move. I'm going to throw cereal bowl like a Frisbee and bing him right in the head. And that's how I'm going to take him out.
Okay.
And then I heard, it was like my grandma's voice that was like, no, that'll get milk and cereal all over the living room, baby. You'll have to clean that up. Like, that'll be a mess. Nice. So, anyways, the guy ended up jumping down. I almost threw the bowl at him. It turned out it was her boyfriend playing a joke on us.
Damn.
And that's why she was awake. That's why she was so excited and bouncy. She knew he was trying to do it, but, I mean, they scared the shit out of me.
Oh,
I almost punched my mom in the face one time.
Imagine that. Jesus.
I was at home. I was
I'm going to kill you if you're in my house.
Cereal bowl to the face definitely would have been justified.
Oh my God, yeah.
I was at home one time. I think I was like fifth grade. And I think we had only been living in the house for like, I think maybe a year. And so I never heard the garage door open, which like, I heard like the door to the house from the garage open and like slammed shut. And I was like, oh, hell no. I was like, oh, fuck. But I was like, I'm home alone. I'm like, you know, 11 years old. I was like, this is fucked. So I'm like sitting and like waiting like by this corner because like I hear the person like walking and like.
Wait, you're sitting home. You heard the door open?
Yeah, like I never heard the garage door, but I heard the door from the garage to the house open and close and like slam shut. Like my mom never like slams the door.
Yeah.
And so then she usually says like Josh or something. Like right. She'll say something to like let me know that she's there.
Uh-huh.
And so she was quiet as fuck, dude. Like it was like the weirdest day of, like ever. Like it still freaks me out like when I think about it. It's just,
I know.
Like,
I'm shaking yeah. too.
So I'm just like, fuck, like I'm sitting downstairs and it's like you walk in and like you walk to the right and then down the stairs is where I was. And so I just like, she's like walking slow and like it just was like super creepy. So I was just sitting at this corner, like I had, I don't know if I had something in my hand, but I was like ready to just like fight. And my mom was coming down the stairs like, fuck, fuck, fuck. And I was just like, oh God. So then I like pop around the corner and there's like my mom. And she's like, what are you doing? And I was like,
you scared.
What are you doing? And I was like, you're...
Did you not expect her home or something?
No, because it was like, she usually gets off at like 5 o'clock. It's like 2:30.
Oh, okay.
And so I was like, nah. I was like, this is weird. So, and I was like, and I was like little, and I'd stayed home alone a lot when I was a kid. And yeah. So like, I was probably for the first 3 years of that, I was always like scared someone was going to be in the house. Like, that was like my biggest fear.
Yeah, sure. So, of course, well, in a bit.
My pillow actually scared the crap out of me last night. I sleep with a body pillow, too. And I'd gotten up at, like, 4 in the morning and took in a shower because, my asthma was kind of bothering me. So I just take a hot shower and breathe a little better. And I got back in bed, and I'm, like, laying there. And at first I thought Miranda was laying next to me with, like, her knee up, like, yeah. You know, kind of causing that triangle shape. And then I... These are all in instant, seconds, like, processing thought. Yeah. Then I realized it wasn't her knee, and I had this, like, moment of panic that, like, there's this, like...
Just somebody sitting...
Big hooded figure, like, in the corner of our room.
Oh, really?
Just, like, just standing over us. But it was, like, my body pillow, like, conformed weird and, like, just... It was a perfect black silhouette. Like, you couldn't tell it was anything from the angle I was at.
You didn't tell me about any of this morning. I
gotta save all my good stuff for the show. I don't have that much going for me. I actually forgot all about it until just now. But, yeah, it definitely, like, gave me a little, heartbeat moment, yeah. All right, so I guess we should get into this thing. I think we're at least a half hour in already.
Good for us.
Hell yeah. Good, for
us. Good opening combo today. Right? One of the best ever. So the evil eye. The evil eye is a cursed or legend believed to be cast by an envious or malevolent glare, usually given to a person when they're unaware. The evil eyes existed in many cultures for many years with varying differences, but one thing is always believed to be true. That the person receiving the evil eye will gain misfortune, illness, or injury.
Whoa, wait, hold on, back up. Is this some sort of spell? Or are you just saying somebody kind of glares at you?
Kind of. Both.
It's kind of. Did we go into that? Did I miss that?
No. You're right on track.
The evil eye. The evil eye. Like, I've heard of saying, like, are you giving me the evil eye?
I could give you
somebody the evil eye. And squinting their eyes at you. Like, mm-hmm. Are you supposed to be, that's what a person is supposed to be casting a spell on?
It could be.
Not
that,
consciously.
Depending, yeah, not, it's kind of an unconscious thing. So it's
for both people.
It's cast through basically like.
Oh, you're talking about, so there's like an actual origin story to the saying.
Through several different cultures.
Oh, okay, yes. The evil eye.
The evil eye. Right. So
I'm
kind of giving
eye.
You a general definition because I have all the different cultures so we can kind of go through.
So like the stink eye?
Well, and I'd like to point out really quick, this isn't the origin story of the evil eye. Maybe to some people you could hear that in this story, but to my family, and I think I've heard you mention your family might actually believe in this.
There might be something.
There's nothing. We don't need an origin story. Yeah. Like, this is part of our everyday lives.
Traces of the evil eye date back to ancient Mesopotamia.
Mesopotamia.
I didn't write that out. But yeah, it's been around forever. It's even been suggested that the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet, is a law against bestowing the evil eye on another person.
Makes sense.
So how do you feel right now? I can't tell where you're at.
I'm a little confused where this is all, like, you're saying it's part of everyday life. Yeah, I've heard the term, like, giving somebody the evil eye.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never thought of it as a,
some cultures,
like a curse upon somebody.
So, and again, it's not something you meant to do. It's just because.
Would it derive from, like, jealousy? And like,
jealousy, yeah. Envy, just malevolence.
Okay.
Towards.
And I don't know, I don't really want to use the word curse. It's more like that negative energy that someone feels when looking at another with envy is almost transported to the person they're looking at without either person knowing.
Oh, okay.
So it's not like someone is actively giving you the evil eye. They don't even know that the energy that they are creating within themselves, they don't even know that could be given to you.
Oh, he's talking about belief in that and like some transfer.
Yeah. Okay.
It'd just be kind of like one of those things. It's like very instinctual. It's more of like a...
I've just never heard of it in my...
Yeah, no.
Like growing up or anything.
Like, I get it. It's just when I kind of perceive it just from like before I even get into it, like my pre, disposition of it, it would be more of like a... All right, it's more of like a... Like, I really don't like you for whatever reason, probably from envy, jealousy type of stuff. And so, like, me subconsciously wishing, like, you weren't where you are, you didn't have what you do.
And it doesn't even have to go that far. It could really just be, like, you know, we'll say...
Oh, so it's not necessarily an evil eye.
Steve's talking about
just, like, some bad mojo you're throwing at someone.
Kind of, yeah. Like, say Steve's...
Yeah, I just kind of wish that person wasn't...
It doesn't have to be wish that. Like, it's just be, say, you know, me and you are friends... And, you know, I have a shitty job, I have a kind of crappy life, I live in, you know, a fucking shitty studio in a shitty part of town, and you're my buddy, and you're doing good, you have a family,
right?
And you live in a big, nice house, you just do nice things. It's not that there's any tension or animosity between us.
Yeah, it's just an envy of it.
It's just envy, and it just could be
his envy.
The way I sit, and, like, when you invite me over for dinner, the way I sit and stare at your family, I'm like, oh, man, this is great.
Oh, okay.
I might accidentally give your kid the evil eye, like just staring at your stance.
Yeah,
staring at little Jameson.
Did you just give my kid the evil eye?
Yeah, and
we would
then
hey, bro, take it back.
Yeah,
and then all right, Jameson, you give him the evil eye back. So you guys got to get even here for a second.
He would have the cutest evil eye. Yeah.
But more like I came to dinner and I was, you know, just kind of a little envious that night, and
I wonder if you can block the evil eye.
I get a block. But you don't know what's happening, and then I just go home, and then that night, Jameson falls a little ill, you know, falls ill, and like...
Oh, people believe that there's a
consequence
to
it. So say in Islam, the evil eye is common belief that individuals have the power to look at people, animals, or objects to cause them harm. It's tradition among Muslims that if a compliment's made, so if I, you know, say, hey, that's a great boy you got there, Steve.
Yeah.
Afterwards, you should say Tabarak Allah, or blessings of God, to ward off the evil eye.
Tabarak Allah.
Tabarak Allah. Now, there's a common misunderstanding that the saying Masha Allah, God has willed it, is sufficient, but this is not the case.
Interesting.
Tabarak Allah.
Okay.
Can we pause really quick to let Furley in so she doesn't have a heart attack? Well, they're coming in anyways.
Dogs have broken into the recording studio.
All right.
Be careful. So still in Islam, a man named Cheikh Amadou Bamba. I'm sorry right now for any pronunciation of anything I do in this episode, because there's a lot of that. Mm-hmm. He wrote a qasida, or qasida, which is a type of prayer, and it was called As-Sindidi.
A type of prayer in what...
Still talking about Islam.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So basically that translates to the generous chief, in which he praises God with these words against the evil eye. Quote, "Be he who will protect me against the evil eye of the jealous, the mischief of the evil whisperer from the mischief of the envier when he envies. O Allah, be my refuge against the evil of the magic, against the evil of the jinn and other venomous creatures. O Allah."
No kidding.
So we struck a chord with Miranda. She's a big fan of the jinn, and this is the only culture it comes up with.
The jinn?
Yeah. Would you like to tell us a little bit about the jinn?
Yeah, I'd love to hear about the jinn.
Well, you can listen to my other podcast episode on History Goes Bump. This is the Legend of the Jinn.
This is not her first podcast guest.
Oh, there you go.
This is going to be a little weird. My ex-boyfriend and his family could all see spirits.
Oh, yeah?
No kidding.
Sure.
And
I believe it.
His oldest sister's girlfriend...
Wait, first of all, you really believe they could see spirits?
Yes.
Why do you believe that?
They were all wonderful, trustworthy people.
Yeah.
And the night we found out they were all seeing the same thing... His little sister, she was about 15 or 16 at the time, she was really troubled because she'd been having a recurring nightmare of a woman kind of stalking down the hallway outside of her bedroom. And in her dream, the woman meant her harm or just had, like, this extreme hatred towards her. And she'd been having the dream for quite a while, and she confessed it to my ex-boyfriend and her older sister that night and her older sister's girlfriend. And then she got up and went to the bathroom. And I remember all of the other three sitting there very quiet. And someone finally said, I see her all the time. Like, she's not just having a dream about something. Like, I see that thing all the time. And my ex-boyfriend started telling his stories about how not only does he see her, he's told the woman to leave his little sister alone. The entity had pushed him once. In their house, their childhood house growing up. And I think the last person to finally talk was his oldest sister's girlfriend, who was Muslim. Mm-hmm. And she was telling us how she sees everything in their house, too, how she and her father both see spirits, but that in Muslim culture, they don't believe that they're seeing... A lot of people think that believe in ghosts, and the definition of a ghost would be a human being who died and their spirit never found peace, and so that human spirit walks the earth. Muslims believe in something called what they call the jinn. That's just a name for them. They don't believe that these spirits were ever really human. They don't really believe that they were demons either. They kind of believe that they were like this other species that are part of the earth. I'm not explaining this very well.
I could buy this the ladder more than I could the human. You know, just some lady walking down the hallway.
Well, so
they say, again, they always like these are like so, people talk about these ghosts and whatnot. The jinn, amazing they stick to architecture.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Or they're almost living in a separate dimension from us.
Right.
They can interweave through and we cannot.
Sure.
But there's certain people that can make that connection.
Like tuned in.
Actually, there's people starting to believe that we can all see through that veil, but that we kind of have to be trained on it.
Singing?
Kind of.
They say everybody can sing.
I mean, any ability within the human body is just like a muscle that needs to be worked.
Right,
yeah.
So there are people now, I think I told you, my friend Tessa at work, she has seen a psychic multiple times, and this psychic offers training classes on how to, like, tune into your mediumship.
Jesus Christ.
But
no, he doesn't.
I'll fool their money soon. Part
he doesn't have to do that.
I would Jesus gladly Christ do it.
Oh, please report back. Yeah, you know what? I'll do it too.
But yeah, long story short, I really liked my friend's definition of what they were all seeing because I could never really put it all together that these were human spirits who were lost, mm-hmm. especially growing up, you know, in a Christian based faith. Didn't make sense to me that there was a God who would let us wander lost. But there were definitely things that happened over the course of that relationship. I fully believe that all of these people I knew were seeing spirits. I believe that those spirits came into this house. I don't believe they're here anymore. I don't feel them.
I find it hard to figure out what to believe when I've had trustworthy people tell me things like that, because I have my brother-in-law. He grew up in a haunted house, and he's got very vivid stories, very detailed stories, and, I mean, why would I call him a liar, you know, like...
David's not a liar.
Yeah, but it's one thing that I call, you know, it's like, I don't think people who believe in God are liars.
Yeah.
I just don't. But believe what they believe.
What do you think?
But this is different
than
a belief. This is somebody telling me that something picked up a mirror and shattered it in front of him while he was alone in his house. Like, how do you tell somebody, no, you're a fucking liar, that didn't happen?
Oh, no, I'm not saying that you would say that, but you just can say, okay, talk to people and they can, can do as far as projecting what you may want on it. I mean, our brains are filled with all these psychedelic things like DMT, things like that. The people, when they're dying, is released into your brain. You have these psychoactive trips. So who's to say your brain can't malfunction and send that to your, send that to your brain while you're awake and at different times? Who knows? It's like, you know, it's something in your body that might miss.
I like that, but what about the same four people? But
yeah. So what about a family
it
sharing it
over years?
There's things you can't explain. You know, I don't have
the
answer to that.
Because he wasn't the only one in his house.
But if we're talking about, like,
I'm not asking for answers.
Their all talking about this person. Who knows? It could be somebody they know. Like, I don't know their whole backstory of their family.
Like,
and stuff
like one of his stories is, you know, as a friend, you know, he was creeped out by his house. Like, he didn't like being there.
And your brother-in-law.
My brother-in-law still. He got a friend to stay the night. Now, he doesn't talk about what's going on in his house. It's not cool to him. Like, this is fucking serious shit. So he got his friend to stay over. He didn't tell him anything. His friend left in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And won't come back. Never came back.
He actually didn't see him later on until he was like 20-something, and he ran into his store, and he's like, hey, man. And like, they went and hung out that day, and finally my brother-in-law brought it up. He was like, hey, you know, what happened that night? And he's like, no.
He was good friends with somebody. He's like, yo, stay over. And he's like, okay.
Yeah.
Leaves in the middle of the night, and then disappears without a trace for years.
Yeah. I don't know if the years is correct.
Call this guy on this phone the next day and say, hey, bro, what happened?
Of what happened afterwards.
He didn't know where he lived?
I don't remember the exact
story. They didn't go
to
school together?
Something like that happened.
There's a lot of holes in that story.
I'm not sure about your retelling of the time frame, but I know David has told me that story, too, about how he had a friend stay over. Something happened to him in the middle of the night. He woke up and his friend wasn't there. And the next time they saw each other,
he shit himself. He could have shit his pants.
I love that version of the story. Yeah.
And then he's just like, would you want to admit you shit your pants? You know, bottom line. And he just like packs it up. Oh, shit, I shit my pants all over my, you know, sleeping bag. And then he's just like, what happened? He's like, no, man, I'm not telling you. He doesn't want to be the pants shitter. Okay? I think that's more, I can buy, you know, that's more of a thing that could happen. Something like that, then he saw Beetlejuice running around. Like, I just don't. Again, I'm not saying, like, these people are liars. I'm saying if you saw something, you might have seen something. But that doesn't mean what you saw was correct. Homeboy to my right saw Bugs Bunny.
That's true.
You were on drugs,
and you believe.
I was on drugs.
Well, no, that was Bugs Bunny at the time.
But I knew it was because of the drugs.
But you're like, holy cow. So, again, people's body parts go wrong all the time.
So, I think Steve's point is your brain can produce
that. It can produce.
Absolutely. I like assigning Steve's opinions to your stories, but everything that my ex.
But I'm not saying I know it all, and I'm saying, again, if I saw it, I might believe in it, but I might have said, I don't know what's happening with my brain. Like, there's a lot.
You know, when I was part of that family, I never saw another being with my own eyes. And they would tell you, and I've heard other people who see spirits say this, they could never see them with their eyes. It was almost like an image in their brain, and they knew something was there. I never had that experience, but when there was something in the room, I could feel it.
Mm. Like without them saying it?
Without anybody saying it.
You would just say, like, oh, this feels, you know, you just,
like, when like
eyes are on you?
Because
they do say that people can, I've seen where they've done studies that people can actually feel when there's eyes on them for some reason, and they've done the studies of it to show it. So maybe that's what you felt. Who knows what it was? I don't know. Maybe people under the stairs creep, looking at some vent through you. I don't know.
In this house, I would feel when there was something else in this house.
Right.
Like, I've definitely felt those things too. And I mean, like, to kind of like unpack.
That's not proof of anything.
Well, no. But like, I mean, to kind of unpack that.
I got goose pimples, and therefore, boom, I got spirits.
To unpack that box, what I'm saying of like, you know, the medium kind of way is like, here's a story. Like, I never really tell anybody, but like, one of my ex-girlfriends, like the first true love of my life, I would say. Every single time.
He's like 21. He must have been at like 16.
That's so sweet.
It was like 16
it was like
years
three,
old.
It's like 3 years ago.
Oh, okay.
But either way, so like 18. Every single time I would dream about her or like think of her in any type of way, she would make contact with me the next day. There was not one time that I would dream about her that she would not contact me in some way the next day. We don't talk.
Wait, was this when you guys were together?
No, this is definitely like broken up. This is after we, like, never... when we broke up, we didn't talk, I think, for at least a year and a half. We never made contact for a year and a half.
So you never had any dreams about her, never thought about her for a year and a half?
No. So I think I would dream about her. So for that little bit of time, like, I was very spiteful towards her. It was like,
Did she die?
No, she fucking cheated on me, bro. She's a...
Right. Okay, but so you're saying for a year and a half, you guys never spoke, correct?
So, but it was after we spoke that I would have these communications. Like, you know, so there was this one time I did acid. Sure, right?
No.
There was one time I did acid while we were broken up, when we weren't speaking.
Okay.
There was this moment where I was literally just walking, and I my body fucking stopped. Like, just stopped and literally turned. Like, just, like, it felt like an almost uncontrollable thing. I turned, And, like, I literally, like, felt her somewhere. Like, it, like, she was thinking about me or communicating with me in some way. Then when we made contact after that, every single night I've had a dream about her the very next day. It was never, like, the same day. It was always the very next day she would contact me in some way, saying, like, it was, whether it was, like, liking my picture on Instagram, anything. Like, even a picture I posted, like, a week ago. Like, something, every single time I dreamed about her, she would make contact with me.
So you're saying it was possible for two people to have an out-of-body connection?
Yeah, of course. And there's this other, like, realm.
Why is it not just possible? It's a coincidence.
There's no way it's a coincidence.
Why do you not say that?
Because it's been a multitude of times. It's not been, like, one or two times. It's been, like, 20 times, 20 plus. Like,
right, but I don't. But you're also, you said for a year and a half, you never dreamed of her.
I've definitely been thinking of somebody, and, like, they text me. Like,
yeah, that happens to me all the time.
I have that, too.
You know? Every day.
Okay. Does that ever happen to you?
How many times do people text you that you weren't thinking
but
about?
But how many times does it happen over and over where you start to notice it?
I don't.
And it gives you a little bit of credit.
No, I don't get a lot of texts.
Start thinking about it. I'm going to give you...
No one thinks about you.
But you got to think about, okay, over 100 texts. Say you get 100 texts throughout the day.
Fuck.
99 texts.
Is that how many texts
you get? You don't think about the person that texts you. And one person, you're like... Hey, what about Chris? Well, and all of a sudden, Chris actually like, oh my God, I was just thinking about this. Like, yeah, but how many times did it not happen?
I hear what you're saying.
You know?
But I've also had experiences just like you over and over and over again. Where, again, it was almost like a set time frame where I would suddenly think about someone and within 24 hours I would hear from them. And I hadn't heard from them in months.
But that was just because those coincidences stand out. How many times do you think of a person and they don't call you? But how many times do you think of a person and there is no text?
I would argue that those people weren't
close,
really important. I don't want to say they weren't
important.
Significant. They were,
because,
like,
nothing happened, it doesn't stick out in your mind. But because it did happen, that's when it sticks in your mind.
I still believe in it.
That's fine.
I believe there was a connection.
Yeah,
totally
fine. Yeah,
well, so I'm saying, like, my homie Dan, one of my best friends, I've known this motherfucker for 16 years. We've been friends for 16 years.
He's such a nerd, though.
say I'm driving home from work, right? Like, I literally can, like, think about, like, is this motherfucker going to text me? He texts me.
Think about him right now, then.
Ooh, do it! Do it!
Right. Here, where's your phone? Right. Put it right here.
Well, that's... No. Here's the argument. Here's the argument.
Oh, here we go. Yep.
It's not...
You can't
a mental
will
thought
it.
Making you to do it. It's the fact
that it's
you
feel.
Catching
it's
on to that connection that he's sending out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's that person sending out a connection and your brainwave picking it up too.
There was a statistic I read recently too that
or coincidences.
That kind of backs this up.
Right.
What is that? Yeah.
You remind me, there's even been studies, like, even down to dogs, of, like, them knowing, you know, 20 minutes before their owner comes home at, like, different random times just because of, you know,
it's those, like, a mental wavelength. Yeah,
mental,
like,
wavelengths, yeah.
You put into motion. Like, so that's it's the idea of, like, what you put into motion.
Well, yeah, you look at, like, quantum mechanics, quantum physics,
have
and
you
stuff
ever,
like that. The thing of the observer, that they, that I think they were talking about, like, electrons or atoms, they actually react differently when they're being watched. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
There's a whole thing if you watch What the Bleep Do We Know. There's a lot smarter people that can explain it, and they have a whole video on it, but it's absolutely fascinating. It does kind of mirror what you guys are talking about, so I think there is some validity to it, but I'm saying don't put so much into
it. Let me point out
99% concept.
Let me point out the 70s hit by the band Golden Earring, Radar Love.
Oh,
when I get lonely and I feel I've had enough, she sends a signal coming in from above.
Ooh, deep, bro.
We don't need no letter at all. We've got a thing, and it's called Radar Love.
Oh,
ladies and gentlemen, another nerd thug.
That's a mic drop on that.
Oh, man.
So we're speaking of dogs, right? I don't think I've ever... This would be like...
Wait, are you talking about like your friends or something?
No, shut up. We're, so...
D-A-W?
So we're about to get...
D-A-W-G.
We're about to get pretty deep right now.
Oh, boy.
So, I've never really announced this, but I feel like it's very fitting for the moment. Like, the idea of, like, the medium, the extra dimension. Like, I will note that there is... They've said there's, like, at this point, well, from what we know, 11 dimensions.
Who said that?
Like, scientists. I swear to God. Like,
this is news to me.
Okay, if you go on YouTube, look up 11 dimensions.
Can't you say scientists?
I don't know. I can't give you any, like, hard credentials. I can't.
Right.
So, but what I'm saying is, like...
Okay, so we're going to go with it then.
Yeah.
Keep going, and I'll see what
I can figure out.
So there's, like, 11 dimensions, and they say, like, the 11th dimension is where God exists. And that's kind of the idea.
These are not coming from scientists, but go on.
But so, no. Also in Navajo mythology, I read this book. It's called, like, The Navajo Creation Story.
Right.
And I read it loosely because I was trying to write a film and try to integrate
okay, mythology. Josh talking about super string theory.
Super string theory?
Yes. According to super string theory, there are at least 10 dimensions in the universe. M theory actually suggests that there are 11 dimensions to space-time. Bosonic string theory suggests 26 dimensions.
Yeah. String theory absolutely is probably, and that's what Stephen Hawking was famous for, like, really kind of pushing that stuff. So, yeah, but it's a theory.
Of course. Not, yeah, but it's a, you it's can't only
just
a theory.
Say, but don't just say there's, well, what listen, we know for a fact.
I didn't say that.
There's, yes, you, I think you started
no,
that
he's
out.
He's just sharing a story.
Right, but he said, started out with.
I don't think he's trying to convert anybody.
No, but he started so out
what
with.
We like, know,
from what we know. We don't know
to
that.
Give
that's
the most
a theory.
Validity, I would say.
But I'm just trying to hold
I
you
get
in
you,
here.
I get you. To
hold
give you the most
here.
Validity
like,
of what we know.
It's science.
It's
okay.
Just like I started out the show, it's suggested that.
Okay.
Yeah,
there you
okay,
go.
It's suggested
go.
That
no,
there
there's
are
a, okay,
dimensions.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
There's a
there
there
you go.
There's multiple dimensions.
I'm learning how to do this journalist thing.
100%.
So there's
give me another 10 episodes.
It's suggested there's 11 dimensions.
Okay.
Now, God exists in the 11th dimension.
Okay.
In Navajo creation story. They talk about the different worlds, which are also to be, I think, translated as dimensions.
Okay.
So in the first dimension of the Navajo creation story, there was nothing. It was complete darkness, and there was still beings that existed, but never really anything physical. You go to the second dimension, those beings became more physical, a lot, mostly amounted, I think, by like bugs, insects, all that kind of stuff, but there was still spirits, like a spirituality that existed there. Third world, they became more like birds and like, you know, other like bigger, like fleshly beings. And then in the fourth dimension is where humans broke through and became humans. And, like, they embodied a body. Like, you know what I mean? They became something. And so that's when humans got to interact with gods amongst their world. And so what I'm saying is there's this idea that you can translate from, like, one dimension to another. And there's certain people, that mediums, that can do things like this, right? Now, there are times, like we're saying, where I can think of someone. That person texts me immediately. My ex-girlfriend, I dream about her. I see her in my dreams. She contacts me the next day in some type of way. Certain little things like that. There was this time where I was, like, in a deep depression, and I was contemplating suicide, like, 100%. Like, mm-hmm. That was a thing, and I was like, all right, like, you know, the parents are out of town. I'm home alone. I don't know why the fuck I thought it would be a good idea to be like, all right, well, I'm going to do acid by myself. Think about my life, decide whether or not I wanted to keep moving forward.
Never a good idea.
Never a good idea. I will say that 100%. Never a
good
idea. Good
ideas.
Oh, wow.
And if you're thinking about suicide, please get help.
Yeah,
please get help.
Don't. Just don't.
Email us. We will help you.
So, but I like left my house and I was like, fuck, like, I sit in my car probably for like 7 minutes just chilling there. And I was like, fuck, like, I if I do this tonight, I have to write a letter. Like, there's no way I can't just like peace out and just not say anything. That's rude. So
right. I'm glad you were concerned about me.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but
wouldn't
so
want to leave a bad image behind.
Yeah. Or a mess to clean up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like leaving and like, okay, we have these two little girls two doors down from us.
Okay.
And so they're really cool, like they're super nice. Like, you know, they've always been like, oh hi, whatever, blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had this little dog they had gotten a few months ago. And I was leaving my house and like I was going to this intersection in the neighborhood. And I tell you what, fucking chaos in this fucking intersection. Like, ridiculous.
Really?
Literally just, like, what is happening right now? There's traffic as fuck, like, lines on every fucking street. And then, like, there's this, their dog, the little girl's dog, running around this fucking intersection. Cars are passing by. Like, she's literally avoiding getting hit. Like, it's incredible. Like, to see that she completely avoided death so many times.
Oh, yeah.
There's an ambulance, I'm assuming, either carrying someone or going somewhere to pick someone up. That is completely irrelevant to our situation at the moment.
Okay.
Flying down this fucking road. And people are like, you know, come here, come here. There's like 30 people outside of their cars trying to get this dog to come here.
So the whole thing was the dog.
The whole,
they were
whole
all
thing
trying
was
to
the
get
dog.
The dog.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I'm in my car, probably about, I say, 8 cars behind the intersection.
Yeah.
And so I see kind of like what's going on. I never get out of my car, but I see the dog running around, and I see like the little girl's crying. I'm like, oh,
okay.
Fuck, I know what's going on.
Yeah, all right.
So I'm sitting there. I'm like, dude, like all these people are getting out of the car. They're like calling for the dog, this and that. And I was just like, you know what? Like people obviously don't know. If you chase a dog that's running around, it's not going to come to you. That's how it works.
You got to play like you're hurt.
Yeah, something. But mm-hmm. I sit in my car, yeah. And I'm just like literally like praying to God. Like, all right, if I can help this dog in any way, please just let the dog be safe, let me help the dog.
Uh-huh.
Still sitting in my car in this fucking traffic, this dog fucking runs from, like, I'd say 400 feet, 450
yeah.
feet, to my car.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in my car. She runs up, hops on my window, and, like, gives me the eyes of, like, fucking save me. And I'm just like, okay,
yeah.
This is fucking ridiculous. Like, what that makes no sense. So I tell the dog, get in my car, go to the passenger door. Dog literally runs to the passenger door and gets in my car. And I take the dog back to
Wait,
safety.
You were on acid this whole
no,
time?
No, 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 I wasn't. Oh. I was contemplating doing acid and contemplating suicide.
Oh, okay.
Got it.
So, also, don't drive on acid.
No, it's a terrible idea. but the dog gets in my car. I take the dog back and, like, little girls are happy as fuck, right? Like, you know, there's all these people out here trying to help, and like, from my point of view, I felt like my life mattered not any at all anymore.
Yeah.
And so, that moment of my life of which I could see of being like a medium translating to some type of like deeper level of communication, like of some type of spirituality, led that dog to my car, got the dog in my car.
Yeah.
And I took the dog home. She was saved my life. Literally, that moment saved my life.
And then I think that's why... Well, they talk about dogs being keen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, their senses are being tuned into something on humans, especially when people are in distress. We talk about
100%.
That.
100%.
Yeah. And I say, that's probably what the dog tuned into.
Could have been. 100%.
That's what I would say, is, you know, not saying on the spiritual aspect, which, if you want to believe in, go with it. 100%.
Yeah.
But what I would say is that the dog sensed something, distress or whatever it is, and... all this chaos, and all of a sudden it was like a beacon, like right to you, because they do, you know, saving people. It's like me being epileptic. I know of dogs that are, when they start to sense that you're about to have a seizure, they'll lead you, you know, those dogs will lead you to a couch because they sense something coming. Same thing with, you know, dogs dealing with depression and things like that. So, yeah, I don't doubt it sensed something.
Yeah, and it could have. And, like, I mean, I know that, like, dogs, camaraderie amongst them, like, the wolf pack idea is such a thing. Like, it is a thing, not only just with dogs themselves, but other, like, beings. Like, they are kind of, like, protective animals in general. You know?
Yeah.
So, like, that is definitely applicable here, but, like, I would also say the spiritual aspect is also applicable in that same sense to say,
Who knows?
Like...
Who knows?
Yeah.
You don't have to
raise it. That's just how I do things. I do have to point out, considering what the episode content is today, I think it's funny that we've taken a road down what is spiritualism
We've barely touched
us,
the actual topic of
when actually everything to do with Oho isn't really spiritual at all. It's all theories about energy.
It dabbles through. Like I say, it's weaved through. I think I've got at least... 8 different cultures on here that we're not going to get to today. But yeah, I mean, it weaves through all sorts of things.
But the energy thing, yeah, I can get on board with all
day. And I really like how Judaism talks about it. I'm going to skip a little through it. There's a chapter of Our Fathers. That's the translation, the name of a book. In chapter 2, 5 disciples of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai give advice on how to follow the good path in life and how to avoid the bad. Rabbi Eliezer says an evil eye is worse than a bad friend, a bad neighbor, or an evil heart. Judaism believes that a good eye designates an attitude of goodwill and kindness towards others. Someone who has this attitude in life will rejoice when fellow man prospers, and he will wish everyone well. An evil eye denotes the opposite attitude. A man with an evil eye will not only feel no joy, but experience actual distress when others prosper, and will rejoice when others suffer. A person of this character represents a great danger to our moral purity. And I think that sounds super true today, and it's a very general kind of statement just about people.
Yeah. It kind of plays along the lines of karma.
Yeah. But, you know, definitely, like, you find those people in your life, and, you know, obviously, hopefully they're the ones you kind of get out of it, because, you know, I mean, that's just a very true, like, I think everybody can think of somebody or have felt that before, like, you know, when you're doing good and there's that person who's just wishing bad about it, like, just not happy for you. So, you know, definitely, you know, like I said, love people and, you know, show goodwill and all that.
Well,
Ooh, what did I miss? I walked into a nice little PSA.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Basically, you know, the Judaism was just breaking it down into real simple terms, like, ooh.
That Carmen, did she fart?
Oh, we got a wicked dog fart in the studio. Oh.
Dog can clear a room for Josh.
It is bad. It is bad. We are...
She shows no shame, though.
Yeah.
She's so happy.
Our newest puppy can definitely clear a room. But yeah, just, you know, the difference between, like, you know, that person who's just, like, never happy for you when you're succeeding, and that kind of person who's just, like, seems like other people, like, they have shit to say about people doing well.
Yeah, it's the crabs in a
bucket mentality.
Yeah.
You talk about that, it's...
Yeah, yeah.
When you see somebody starting to do good, they try to tear them down.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
You know, it's a hood mentality.
Yeah, so don't be a crab in a bucket.
The guy who, you know, is getting out of the poor area because he's trying to get a good job.
Yeah.
He's like you're selling out, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
Exactly.
You know? Yeah, just need more positive thinking.
Yeah, as I said, you know, good eye designates an attitude of goodwill and kindness towards others. Someone who has this attitude in life will rejoice when his fellow man prospers and wish him well.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what we should all aim for a little bit more.
Yeah, you help people get what they want, eventually you'll get what you want. I see a lot of that.
Yeah, yeah. Now, it is common practice in Judaism. It says, you know, many observant Jews will avoid talking about valuable items they own, good luck that they come across, and in particular their children. If any of these items are mentioned, the listener or the speaker will say, good, this is a hard one, Baila Ein Hara, meaning without an evil eye, or Kenahara, meaning no evil eye. Or you can spit 3 times to ward off the evil eye. And then they also carry a...
There's some grown-ass adult started spitting to ward off an evil eye while I'm talking to him. It's just a little questionable.
Spitting isn't uncommon in cultures, though, to ward off evil.
Yeah, it comes out, especially the 3 times.
Oh, yeah, no, I remember I was working in an Italian restaurant, and I was sweeping up. And I brushed the chef's foot, and he spit on the broom. I'm like, what the hell's wrong with you, man? He's like, oh, it's good, bad luck to get brushed by a broom. I'm like...
I'm not saying
so I... So somebody brushed your foot with a broom, so you feel the need to hock a loogie on it to avoid bad luck? Like, this is where we are? He's like, yeah. I'm like, okay. I just want to clear that up, you know? Or somebody mentions your kids, you're like, oh, I got to spit 3 times. That's warding up at, like, come on. I don't know. It's just kind of ridiculous when you break it down.
Yeah.
But just because somebody's been doing it for 1,000 years, people are like, no, it's
the
normal.
Way it is.
Yeah, it's what you're supposed to do. This is where we got to kind of hold people's feet to the fire.
Well, it's like when you get back to our weird food episode and you got people eating rotten shark that's been sitting in a shed for 8 months.
Exactly. Like,
just what are you because doing? You've been doing it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, that's where, but it's... We're almost afraid as a culture to call people out on this stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's completely disrespectful to call someone out on that.
Why? People do it for, genital mutilations. We call the people out on that because in cultures, in, like, Africa and things like that, they do genital mutilation as part of the culture.
Because in our homogenized American culture, we all believe that let everyone... do what they want as long as it isn't hurting anyone.
Right, so again,
so we'll
don't call it
out
as long as it's
that are
not
hurting others.
Like,
I'm going to get louder than you so that I feel
what
right.
What about circumcision?
Is that hurting anyone?
Ask the baby.
Does the baby remember? My parents pierced ears when I was...
So if the kid doesn't remember, it's okay to do?
Is it healthier for a child? Some
no.
people will argue that it's healthier.
Doctors won't. They'll say, no, it's not really healthier.
Some people believe it's cleaner.
Right, but just because you believe something doesn't make it true.
I think that was the original belief.
I guess I find
it
hard to argue genital mutilation against spitting on a broom.
Right, but what we're saying is it's the people are doing these things just because they've been doing them for a long time.
What I'm saying, though, is you as an individual, as a respectful individual, you have to use your own discretion. Of course I'm going to call someone out on genital mutilation.
Yeah, if you talk to somebody, I would also call them out, like, why are you spitting? Yeah, I would say that.
Steve would say that.
I guess that's a friendly way of saying
I think
it.
Steve,
but
what are you doing?
I think Steve means it in a more simplistic way than you're thinking. You're thinking of, like, calling people out, like, in a, like, more
Well, you're using vocabulary, way. Like, holding people's feet to the fire.
Yeah, a little bit on a lot of things
that's
that are done.
That's pretty harsh.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean...
I know you mean it
People
in
allow
general.
A lot of things
like,
to
like
go...
Steve's a real popular guy at work because if you make a blanket statement like that, he will be the first one to sit there and be like... Why? Why are you doing
that? Yeah, why are you doing
this?
That? Why do you think that way? Why do you think that's okay?
I appreciate that.
And in
that.
A lot of, like, cultures, especially religious cultures, you look at different, you know, like really strict religions. You see it in Christians' faith. And, like, the man is the head of the household. And the woman has to, you know, serve the man. I've seen that stuff. That still goes on today. And people don't hold people's feet to the fire because they say, well, that's their belief. They're allowed to believe like that. Like, there's too much of letting it go on. Look at Scientology. They have all those things. They just say, well, that's our religion.
See,
that's
we
our
actually culture. Run the opposite of that in this household.
But, like, nobody calls them out because they let people get away with it a lot just because that's how they've done for thousands of years. And nobody's saying, maybe we should look into this.
I'm not saying we shouldn't look into it. I just think the way you're claiming you're going about it is pretty harsh. If I was someone...
Well, we're talking about in a general sense for conversational sake. Would I go to Israel and start, like, why are you spitting? And just start running around and pointing a finger at people. No. But if I'm talking to a grown individual, and all of a sudden they're talking like, oh, yeah, how are your kids? I'd be like, why are you spitting? and they'd be like, oh, we're supposed to spit. When you talk about your kids, they'd be like, why? And if they can't come up with a good reason, like, well, that's what you're supposed to do. And it's like, why are you not questioning stuff like that? That's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And us as a society, we just kind of let this stuff go. Like, oh, yeah, that's what we're supposed to do. Really? Yeah. What you're supposed to do? Why?
Well, people don't understand. Go ahead, bro. I'll say it after you.
I watched an interview today with a Jewish lady or something. And she was just kind of talking about these beliefs and, mm-hmm. like, the things you do in Yiddish to say and that. And she's like, you know, I don't really believe it anymore, but it's just kind of fun to do. And she's like, but if you are in a group of non-Jewish people and you start spitting and saying whatever the saying is you're supposed to say, and she's mm-hmm. like, it is a little weird. So you kind of hold back on that. I don't know. It's simple little fun things like that, you know, like whatever. Do what you do. Don't spit on my feet, please. But, like, you know, do what you do.
And, like, so what I was going to say is, like, I feel like I experienced this since I work with Steve.
What, me calling people out and stuff?
Yeah,
you should. But it ties back to thinking that religion is probably one of the biggest culprits for mass murder, like genocide, things like that. You can all be tied back to either one of two things, religion or money.
You don't need to convert me on that. You're talking to an ex-Catholic.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. Those we have to deconstruct, I believe, as a society, deconstruct behaviors starting in small ones.
I think I'm arguing that deconstruction can happen respectfully and not so abrasively. Well,
yes, and so on that point, I will say this. Yeah. So, because I deal with people talking to me about Steve all the time, and so I'm like, you know, you guys just understand. Steve is just Steve. Cool. Like
Steve. We love Steve.
Yeah. No, it's just I take it black and white. It's like it's just, well, you know, again, I take logical thinking to things, and I'm receptive to why people think the way they think, but I'm mm-hmm. just going to try to. If we're talking about stuff and you're just presenting them, like,
that's
why
I tell
do you think
people.
That way?
So I was like, you know, Steve's not a bad guy. Like if you stand your ground when Steve's questioning you, generally he's just looking for a simple, like, you know, why do you do that?
I'm honestly just very curious most of the time as to why people think the way they think and why they behave that way, maybe, and if they have any backing for it.
Maybe because I'm such a stupidly sensitive person, if you came to me in the manner that you approach people with your curiosity, I would have no desire to open up to you.
Well, see, and that's how most people
I would
feel
attacked.
But just me asking questions. People feel attacked when there's questions asked.
Well, it's also the tone in which you ask questions.
It's because he's from New York.
It's fast and it's loud.
He's East Coast guy.
I guess.
Again,
yeah, it's just
now
like, you know.
Just like Josh said, like, once you get to know Steve, you really understand that side of you. Like, I feel no ill will towards opening up to you right now because I understand your tone.
It's just there's a tone, but I'm just always very curious. I'm very inquisitive about people and just why they think that. Because, again, I grew up in that. Household. It was a loving household because it had religion in it. But as far as like the traditions and things, I would just be like, well, why are you doing that? And then I'd start to research the history of why people did certain things. And then it just was like, you know, people would ask like, why do you not believe in God or why you're not religious anymore? I'd say it was mainly because I got, you know, an education in a lot of it. And I started to learn about all these other things, all these other religions and beliefs and cultures and things like that. And then you're just like, oh, so everybody thinks they're right? So, okay, that doesn't make any sense. And, yeah.
I think one of the biggest things...
Should I be spitting more?
One of the biggest things I found, because I've always been really curious in religions, especially because of, like, you know, I've noticed there's tons and tons of similarities in religions. Navajo and Christianity, very similar. Creation story, all that kind of shit. It's very, very similar. And so, like, one thing I've noticed is a lot of times religion is almost an excuse to feel the way you do. And that's one thing I hate, because, like, you know, most people will never look into it enough to actually decide if they believe in it. They just feel they should.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. I could see that.
And well, so
I would absolutely agree.
I would argue that a lot of people who grow up in a religious household live in a lot of fear of looking into it.
Yeah, that's exactly. Of course. Yeah,
and because you're not allowed to ask questions. No. Yeah. Even simple things like government, you're not allowed to ask questions, right? Like that's how people feel. Like people feel like you're not allowed to ask questions, or you'll be.
Yeah, but
forsaken,
it's so brilliant,
right?
How they did it with religions too, because especially like Christianity, like. Oh, if you're questioning something, that's the devil.
That's the devil.
It's like, so they've already got you, man.
Yeah, like I never truly understood the full Catholic guilt thing until I started dating Miranda.
Yeah, it's strong, man. You know, and then they start to say, you question it, that's the devil in your ear. And anything you do to go against it, that's the devil work. Mm-hmm. That's the devil trying to get you out of it and pull you out. You got to stand strong.
Yeah, I mean, I've been lucky enough that, like, you know, I went to church. I went to a Christian, you know, church a couple times when I was a kid, but man, we stopped going. Like, I've never had anything forced on me like that. I was, you know, so you can tell from the sounds of it, I pretty much grew up running wild around Las Vegas doing what I wanted, but...
True, but it's, like, one of the greatest things, though, because, like, I feel like when you get into religion a lot, like, it's such a forced, like, way of life, you know what I mean? Yeah. It is almost such a, like, it's such a, like, hard structure to get away from. Like, if you can't... Like if you
people will say, like, well, you know, oh, if you're not religious, like, how do you, like, well, then what's to stop you from killing people or something like that?
Because I'm
you know,
a
religion,
decent person.
Yeah, because, you know, I have empathy.
I don't want to kill,
I'm not apathetic to humans.
Yeah.
Just because I'm not religious. Yeah. But, yeah, you get that all the time, unfortunately.
And so it's just dangerous because it's like, you know, like, that's one of the things that I've kind of, like, picked up along the way of, like, being raised Jehovah's Witness, being told by my dad that, you know, dabbling in any type of, like, mystic arts or anything like that, watching Pokemon, watching Harry Potter, any type of shit like that is, like, evil. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, it blows my mind. It's preposterous to me. Even though I still believe in a God. I still believe...
You still believe in Harry Potter, yeah.
I've never seen Harry Potter, so I don't believe in Harry Potter.
I believe in Harry Potter.
So it's just like...
You're a believer?
I am.
To be raised...
I'm actually a Hufflepuff, in case anybody was wondering. I took the test. It made sense.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm a Hufflepuff.
Nice. All right.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm just saying, like, you know, the ability to run free, to the ability to make mistakes, the ability to, like, you know... make your own path in life, I think is very, very important, because it's like, you know, you decide what matters to you. You don't have that blind faith, blind loyalty to something you don't actually know about.
Sure.
And so that's one of my biggest things.
Yeah, and that's why I tell people question it.
And so that's what I'm saying. Like, people don't understand you as a person to say, like, you know, even though you're somewhat abrasive about it, like, I won't...
I could say that.
You're very abrasive. Yeah. But, like...
But we love you anyway.
Yeah. Exactly. But most people won't know that. Like, if you ask me, bro, like, people at work just don't understand you.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you guys, I tell them all the time, you don't understand Steve. He's a good dude. He's just like, you know, he's just... Sometimes he's just an asshole.
Yeah. So, we also work with a lot of younger kids.
That is true.
Very sensitive and society.
We live in a very sensitive society.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
You want to know why that is, in my opinion? It's because I feel like we're one of the only countries that doesn't have any, like one main belief that is religion that we have to live by to get along with everyone. You know what I mean? Like, we live in a free country in the sense of, like, you can believe whatever the hell you want.
You think that makes people more sensitive?
Because nowadays I'd say we're getting away from it.
80 different genders or something like that.
I'm saying
is they're very sensitive just by saying, "Hey man, did you just assume my gender?" Like, like overly sensitive.
But that derives from having the ability to be free, and no one ever asks the questions that people want to know. No one's ever allowed to be curious.
I see what you're saying.
So now that people are curious,
that's true.
It's an interesting thing.
Curiosity has to be encouraged.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And it's not.
It's been stifled for a long time.
In our society, I think in human society.
Things are changing. It's
a rough change. It's a very rough change, you know, because, like, no one wants to feel that they don't mean anything. No one wants to feel that their views or beliefs are not valid. And so once that's tested, people, they, like, revolt. And they're like, no, like, you're a dick. Like, blah, 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 fuck you. And then, like, you know, it turns into, I'm going to be a dick back to you, but I still think I'm right. And, like, that's why we're here.
That's where things break down.
We're here now. Like, that's, so it's just, like, you know, the whole idea of, like, you have to go through shit to get to a better place. Like, you know, like, you have to get out of your comfort zone to understand something greater than what you know.
Yeah. Well, guys, speaking of here... here is now the end of the show.
Talk about OHO.
Yeah, we didn't talk about the subject at all today. It was a great conversation. I had fun.
Yeah.
Let me see. I'm going to
look. Is there anything you can sum up about it? Like, I mean...
You know, honestly, we're just going to go through, like, kind of different cultures. Like, Italy's is very... It's very based around male impotence. Sorry, yeah, impotence. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the talismans they make are phallic shaped and stuff like that, and they do this sign with their hand. They go from the devil horn sign, you know, with your pinky and pointer finger out.
Like the rock and roll sign.
Yeah, but then it moves to this, and they call it the fig sign. So right now I have my thumb coming out. I have a fist going with my thumb coming out between my middle finger
it's
and my
ring
finger.
It's the letter M in sign language. With letter That's what M. It looks like.
So this actually represents the phallic, the penis in the vagina.
A little chub stuff?
Yeah, so it's a little chub in the vagina. And that keeps the bad thoughts away from your child's pee-pee.
Nice. Really?
Yeah. Spain and Mexico is actually why we brought Miranda.
Nobody's challenging that one.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So very sexually charged there in Italy. Yeah. So Spain and Mexico, it's very much believed that infants are, like, the most susceptible to the ojo, or mal de ojo, which is why we brought Miranda on the show. Kind of her family had some run-ins with it through your uncles and things like that.
One of my great cousins and my uncles.
Yeah. So there's a whole thing where if the person who gave you the ojo can be found, they can come and touch you and take it away. Basically, they take an egg over the baby.
Wait, I want to tell it.
Yeah, dude. I'm telling the general if you want. Yeah, let's do your story real quick, and then we'll get out of here.
So my grandma always told me about ojo. We just call it ojo. I don't know anyone who refers to it as mal de ojo.
Okay.
And I've kind of asked Amber about it. I don't think her family...
Okay.
Believes in it. My grandma always told me that when you see a really pretty baby, and you really want that baby, you wish it was yours. That's an envious feeling, and you can give that negative feeling to that infant and make them sick. They call it impachao, which I think means, like, their stomach gets really upset. Mm-hmm. My grandma told me that our cousin Paul had ojo as a baby, that he was deathly sick. They had taken him to doctors, and doctors couldn't figure out what was wrong with him. And let me say, I don't really know if I believe in this. This is just what my grandma and other members of my family have told me. This would have been when my mom was a baby, so probably in, like late 50s, early 60s.
Right. Not really top of the line for medical.
No.
And not in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
No. Yeah,
either.
Fucking blue people running around. Right. Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
But my family is really strong in their traditions and their beliefs.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't surprise me that they would naturally
just go the spiritual
follow world. That path. My grandma said no one could figure out what was wrong with Paul. Until my great-great-grandmother, I think Catalina, came along and was like, that baby has ojo, you fools. You need to fix it. So my grandma said they prepared him. They prayed over him. I don't know what prepared him means. They prayed Rosemary's over him all thing. Night.
Yeah.
And they did an egg cleansing, which is actually pretty common in Latin American cultures, and I didn't know this.
Yeah, this part of your story is real common for, you know, the Spanish and Mexican.
But my family did it a very different way from anything we've read about. Most Latin American cultures will crack the egg and put the egg in the room, and they believe that the egg is kind of like a meter that tells you, that can read the negative energy in the room. And you can see that by seeing how the yolk changes in the egg and the color the egg becomes.
Yeah. Imagine if this did not exist and I came to you guys with this idea. Imagine this was not... like that hundreds and thousands of years old or whatever it is, right?
Yeah,
this
yeah,
practice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my son got sick. And I was just like, yeah, I cracked an egg and put it in the room and I'm just trying to, you know. These are the types of things. It's like, imagine if this didn't exist and somebody proposed this stuff to you now in 2018 with what we know of medical science.
It's a little silly, but I also argue that people have been... Someone recently suggested that if everyone in your house is sick, cut an onion in half and leave the onion in the room.
I've actually heard
that's
actually
true.
Yeah, but it absorbs stuff. So there's something.
Why can't an egg absorb stuff?
Right, but I'm saying things like that, that if they didn't exist, these, just because they're old, people accept them. So they didn't exist. Mm-hmm. Just like the spitting, if all of a sudden I decided to do that and nobody had done it before, you guys would think I'm nuts. But because they're old, people think they're okay.
I mean, it goes that way. Like,
right, but
like for instance, when I came to you and I was like, "Hey, man, what's something good for post workout?"
Yeah,
you know, you say, you told me chocolate milk. You might have gave me a couple reasons, and again, you told me to research it, but yeah, you know, I'm an American, so I didn't.
Right,
and I just took your word on it, and I've been doing it ever since.
Right,
and
exactly.
I enjoy it, but I still don't know why I'm doing it, except right, for Steve told me to do
protein,
it.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah. They have a whole. They study with the they did like chimps or monkeys, that whole thing with the pushing the button and it would zap the floor or something like that.
Yeah.
And they would systematically remove the monkeys one by one. It was like a group of five to start.
Yeah.
And every time they touch the button, everybody knows that they would get a shock.
Yeah.
Systematically, they would remove it and put in one. And the new one would come in and go to touch it. And they'd all like freak out and say, don't touch that button. And they would keep removing them until the original monkeys were not in the room and new monkeys were in there. But they knew not to touch that just because by...
Oh, because they
by behavior,
taught that.
Yeah. They were taught. Nobody ever questioned it. Like, why?
Oh, man.
So we have that whole same thing, and I'm not saying it's bad to crack an egg.
Have
not
you
doing
watched
any
that
harm.
Show, The Push, on Netflix?
No.
Oh my God, watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was
but I'm not. I'm not saying it's bad. No. I'm just saying like these are the types of things that we in a society, because there are some bad things. Like you're talking about people defending right now. Jeff Sessions was defending separating kids at the border because it was in the Bible. Like, there's certain things that are toxic. So we have to start with little small things and say, we need to challenge these. That's what I'm saying, is we should challenge these beliefs. Not challenge them, but question them. Because down the road, like, people will defend really bad behavior. Yeah. Like,
I totally see where
you
are coming from.
Marching with torches
and
hating gays because it's in the...
Again, you hit the point where your skin starts to turn blue because you've been drinking colloidal silver because somebody told you it was good.
Exactly.
But I also have to use your point of what was medical... I mean, what was available to them at that time? They didn't have...
Right,
this was a really poor family.
At, I know, 100%.
I mean, putting yourself in their place, this was kind of their last resort. Their their infant child was about to die, and they'd seen the doctors that were available. They didn't have any answers.
Right.
Again, I totally see where you're coming from, but I also see how my family took this route and went the way they did. They had an elder come in and say, "Hey guys, I think I know what this is. Let's try this. You have nothing to lose."
And I get that at that time. I just think we're past the point of elders.
And again,
I see
that. My point with the chocolate milk in this modern day and age, there is chocolate milk in my fridge right now.
But you just took my word for it.
Because you told me to do something, and I haven't researched it since.
You monkey.
Steve's my friend, and I trust him.
Another thing to think about is, like, you know, I feel like as time passes, we get away from tradition. And, you know, that's when we kind of find out if tradition was right or wrong.
Yeah,
and
we get a chance to test it.
So it's tradition to own people at one point.
Miranda, finish up your story for us here.
So they
have the sick baby.
They have the sick baby. They laid him on a table. They put a raw egg on his back, still in the shell. They didn't crack it.
Yeah.
Which I've found out since doing research on this that's not common.
That's not a common tradition. I've seen it before, too, in the research.
They put a raw egg on his back, and they prayed over him all night. Mm-hmm. My grandma said that in the morning, Paul was better. He had more energy. And that when they cracked the egg, it was black inside, mm-hmm. as though it had absorbed all the negative energy that they believed was in him. And after that, he was fine.
Mm-hmm.
They said it also happened to my Uncle Chris, who's my youngest uncle. I don't really know the story regarding Uncle Chris, but I just know that the whole family reports that it happened to two different members of our family, and that they performed this ritual on both of them. And afterwards, both babies were better.
There you go.
I do believe in... I wanted to also point out in the positive and negative energy.
I believe in positive and negative energy.
My friend Jess had taken a class in college where her professor removed certain people from the class. And as they were outside in the hallway, he told the rest of the class, "This is what we're going to do. It's an experiment. I'm going to bring one person in at a time, I'm going to stand behind them, and I'm going to give you the thumbs up or the thumbs down. When I give you thumbs up, I want you to think positive thoughts about this person.
Right.
thumbs down and what you think, negative thoughts. So he would bring one person in at a time, and he would have them stand with their arms outstretched, and he would give the class thumbs up or thumbs down. Mm. When he would give them thumbs up and everyone was thinking positive energy, the teacher would then test the strength of their of the person's arms to see if he could push their arms down to their sides or not. When everyone was thinking positive thoughts, it was really hard to push the arms down. When everyone was thinking negative thoughts, it was really easy to just push their arms down against their sides.
Interesting.
And my friend Jess said that.
So they did them all.
That right there really? Was.
Yeah, those bands. Remember those bands people were buying? No. They were like energy bands. Yeah. Yeah, and they would you'd put your arm out.
Yeah.
And they'd watch this. Mm-hmm. And they came out with the whole reason of how they were doing it. That, and they would sell these bands that, yeah, it was supposed to make you more balanced or something like that. And be like, look it, you don't have the band. And they'd be like, outstretch your arm. And they'd push your arm all the way down, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you had the band, they do the same thing apparently, and it's
the power of the mind, bro.
No, what they were doing was they were pulling on the arm a little bit. The whole thing blew up, and that's why you don't see these bands around anymore.
Oh, really?
It's okay. Because they were instructed to pull down on your arm, and then when you put the band on, you just push down, and it was a lot harder.
Interesting.
And so the guys who were selling these things in the kiosks in the mall, that's what they were instructed to do.
They were little Houdinis, huh?
Yeah.
Huh. So in this scenario,
energy thing, yeah. I totally agree with
I mean,
that.
I believe in it, and I think you can use that in this story to say that it's easy to see how people would think that negative energy can be imposed on you.
So I can see that.
The constant theme, and we didn't hit every culture, obviously, but the constant theme I see is, you know, a good energy fighting a negative energy. So this negative energy gets cast, and every culture has a ritual, but it always comes down to whether it be the Lord's Prayer or their prayer or this saying, you're casting a positive saying out over and over again.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really think whether it's a sickness or not, I think there's a good running theme to all of these. Just
positive, negative,
energy. Be good to people, man.
And there's I think it's measurable. If you're in a room with a bunch of positive people.
Yeah.
It's totally different
when you're like negative people. If you're listening
when you're working with people and they're just like a negative energy, like toxic, you can just feel it.
Bring the world up with you, you know. If you're listening to a podcast and you like it, click 5 stars. You know? Hey, why not?
Exactly. Pass it on.
On the goodness. Yeah. You know?
Can I say one more thing?
One more thing from Josh.
All right. So there's this interesting thing that I've kind of looked into. One of my favorite quotes, I'll start it off with this, is without counsel, plans will fail.
Okay, you got an epilogue or a prologue to this story too?
Because it's the same idea that, like, you know, the story you told, Miranda, that of, like, if you bestow good energy upon somebody, it makes them stronger, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you bestow negative energy upon someone, it makes them weak. And so there's this quote from the Bible, I believe, don't kill me if this is fucking wrong, but what I'm saying is there's this quote from the Bible that says, you know, whoever is, like, your leader, your ruler, your alpha, essentially, it, no matter who he is, if he's a bad person, if he's negative, whatever.
Or she.
Or she, sorry.
You guys are looking at me.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Or she. So wish them good, you know, good intent. Because, like, you know, because if you...
Their fate is your fate.
So it's like, you know, if you bestow nothing but negative energy upon the person who is in charge of you, who leads you, who, like, you look up to, you're going to face the same fate they do. So that whole idea of, like, you know, if you put good energy into the world upon some person, it can bring good things. And so I just think it's really interesting the fact that, like, where you live in this time that we can see people that, like, you know, that we hate, that we love, and we really kind of divide upon those things. But I like the idea that, like, you know, even this podcast, essentially, we kind of unbox those things. We ask those questions. We, you know, imply the better way to go about things. And so I think I kind of lost my point of where I was going with this.
I have no clue where you're going at this point.
But
I'm still interested.
Someone will get it because I have a little bit of alcohol in me. So
there you go.
So there you go.
Beer?
So
a beer and a half?
Beer
right. And yeah, 30, oh, yeah, 135.
You were
right.
So I was like that.
Beer and one beer and 3/4 of a beer.
Okay.
So, guys, this has been the longest episode / the most off topic ever. But not really. Like, I don't know.
I think we
unboxed it and we found
other avenues.
I love that term.
Yeah.
I love that you're using the term we unboxed it.
There we go.
It's such a beautiful image.
We're like a little package from Amazon. Yeah.
So everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. This has been another episode of Strange People, Weird World. Follow us at SP Weird World on any of your facial favorite social media.
Your facial.
Yeah. You love facials too. Follow Josh at Josh Hartko. Follow me at Greg's Weird World. And thank you so much for Miranda for coming in today.
What was a question?
One more question.
I forgot to say, Josh used the term earlier, fleshly beings, and someone should make a porno called fleshly beings.
You did use that, and I was like, oh, that's an interesting term.
It was a nice term.
Yeah, talking about it was one of the dimensions.
That's actually
the fleshly beings dimension.
So that's actually me and Josh do a tag team stripper act, and we are the fleshly beings.
We are the fleshly beings.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, come catch us at Diamond Cabaret.
Yeah, Diamond Cabaret. There you go.
We know. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in.
Go Space Force.
Go Space Force.
Yeah.
You know what? Keep it weird.
Keep it weird. Yeah.
Well, I never knew anything like that in the whole of my life.
Nice.